Ha inizio la registrazione della conferenza.
The conference is now being recorded.
Good day and welcome to F.I.L.A. First Half 2020 Results Conference Call. All participants will be in listen mode. At the end of today's presentation, there will be a question and answer session. You can reserve your space for a question by pressing star then one on your telephone keypad. We shall now ask the company CEO, Mr. Massimo Candela, to address the meeting. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us in this summer call. It's not easy to give appropriate overview in this difficult environment. But for sure, the semester is fortunately giving us some positive information, positive at least compared to my expectation at the end of the first quarter. And I can also say expectation given by the market. I think that there are some three basic concepts that I would like to stress based on the numbers that we have given today. First of all, that we know this year FILA is FILA 100 birthday, and we have managed many recessions and crises, and we always said that school business was totally resilient. We cannot say the same now with in COVID situation. So school business is definitely resilient in a difficult economic situation. It is not resilient when we have to face problem of lockdown of schools. But the results are giving us very positive information. And the second important concept I would like to stress is that after 2 years of dedicated to reorganization, particularly 2018 and 2019, the supply chain and the systems of the group have become again a strong asset or a competitive advantage. In fact, we can say that our supply chain is much shorter as we are vertically integrated, and this has allowed us to respond to the market requests that were absolutely randomic and difficult to plan, while the longer supply chain are struggling much more than what we are doing. So I think we can finally say that our operation have now done a very good job, and we are able to supply in the best way possible our customers. The third information that I think we will analyze more in detail, let me express my great satisfaction over the decision we took 3 years ago using the IPO and the proceeds of the IPO for the diversification in the fine art business. I think with Arch acquisition we have gone beyond my strategic expectation, putting together a marvelous portfolio of brands. Frankly speaking, I would say, surprising to see a business that in June 2020 is growing versus June 2019 on a worldwide base by 4.5%. So this business is not only showing resiliency versus economic crisis, but is also able to manage positively also a lockdown situation related to the COVID. And today this diversification counts for more than 30% of the group business. So clearly a very positive step that we took starting 2017. That clearly now is giving us very, very positive results. And by the way, we think that this positive trend will continue. In the negative side, we have an extremely difficult situation with our jewel in India. As you know, India is our second largest market in the world. The situation of the country is extremely difficult. The country is clearly not able to manage a health emergency like they are facing. And the country is almost in a lockdown situation since the 21st of March. We have suffered heavily until the first week of May because the government, we invoiced almost zero. We couldn't produce, but the government imposed fila to pay full salaries to all the employees. So clearly, six difficult weeks. Then we could start reopen the plant mainly to supply the different subsidiaries around the world. And now we are expecting some positive news from the government in terms of reopening of the schools. We have also some difficulties in Mexico, but Mexico, fortunately, we have been able to keep the plant always in good operational efficiency, and Mexico is supplying extremely well the needs of North America, considering the strong difficulties we had in China in the first quarter. So Mexico is confirming the a very important strategic position of the country to supply North America. I would like also to stress one point, because I think that after the 2018 and 2019, I think it's an important point to highlight. The company in this difficult situation continue to improve the working capital ratio. And I think another important point is to stress the cash generation. I think in this environment and after we have bought ARF in the beginning of March, I think it was really a brave decision. The level of the net debt has improved versus June 2019. The company in this situation, thanks to a very strict control of operative cost, a very strict control of capital investment, is able to generate cash like until June, like if it was a normal year. For what we should expect from now on, in July we have not seen any major change from the first semester, which is positive, but I think that to draw a conclusion compared to our estimation given in March. We gave, if you recall, an estimation of the full 2020, including COVID impact. I think today we are comfortable with that estimation, even more with the result of this semester. But to draw a line or to draw a conclusion, it will be extremely important to see if really the majority of our countries, if not all, will reopen the schools. I have no doubt that Fine Art will continue performing extremely well because we see that in book orders. Schools, there is a lot of uncertainty in our customers. There is a lot of uncertainty in what we read in the newspapers. I get information almost on a daily basis that there is a strong political position to reopen schools as soon as possible. Also in India, we start collecting information that a couple of states announced that in September they are going to reopen the schools. So clearly, if this will happen even in a blended way, so half class at home and half class with physical presence, I think this will allow us to continue the year on the basis that we have performed until June. So I am realistically optimistic that schools will reopen despite the virus is still among us. We will continue keeping under strict control cost and capital expenditure. We manage on a daily basis all the information. We have invested in inventory in order to be ready to respond to the request that in July start to arrive, and we think that in August will continue to arrive in order to supply all the schools around the world. So I now ask Stefano to go more into detail of all the different ratio and figures, and I am available for the Q&A session. Thanks.
Okay, thanks Massimo. I just ask you to go to the through the presentation so just that we can discuss and see just in numbers what Massimo just explained. So if you go to page 4, we start from core business sales. And the first half closed with 307.6 million of core business sales, with a decrease of 43.1 million compared to the previous year, June 2019. We had to do just a little the depuration from some that is not organic and so that the difference become from less 43 become less 40.9 million. The FX effect is quite immaterial. We had a different trend between among the US dollar and other currency that neutralized totally the FX effect. The M&A effect is related to the ARS acquisition and to the superior sales. And coming back to the value, the organic contraction was equal to less negative 14.9, less 11.8%. We have a different trend, as Massimo explained before, because we can see that the fine art growth was equal 0.4%, almost 4 million positive. That were totally compensated, were more than compensated of the decrease of the school business that was that is equal to negative 44 million. And this is reflected also in the geographic area because the fine art growth was concentrated in the North America in the area, so it's the reason why the decrease is limited in sales to negative less 2.5%, while the school business, of course, is concentrated in Asia, India, Central South America, and Europe, where we can see the decrease of the sales. And it's interesting also to see the chart related to the cakes, where you can see on the left side the increase of the share related to the part related to the fine art business compared to the school business that totally reflect the trend that I just explained. If we go to page 5, we can analyze the EBITDA trend. EBITDA is, I want to be clear, excluded IFRS 16 effect and is adjusted, normalized from non-recurrent cost. The first half closed with an adjusted EBITDA equal of 46.2 million, less 12 million compared to June 2019. Also here we have to see the data, the organic variation that again is without a fixed effect that are equal to 0.8 million positive. That is mainly USA area, the other currency has neutral as effect, and is the organic variation taking into consideration also the M&A effects that as for the revenue are for Arch acquisition and for superior sales. Normalizing the variation EBITDA from these two effects, the organic variation is equal to negative 13.3 million, less 23% compared to the previous year. I would like to point that we have an effect directly from the decrease of sales on the EBITDA, but we discussed during the previous call that the group was committed in fixed cost saving, and I can confirm that compare our assumption, we confirm that the cost saving is more than 5 million as we planned, and this helps to mitigate the decrease of EBITDA. Just to point another couple of things, of course the inefficiency that were mentioned by Massimo before and were reflected in the EBITDA margin, that you can see that is in decrease compared to the previous year of 1.6 point. Extraordinary costs are mainly referred to the COVID effect. We had 1 month of closing activity, full closing activity in India, and this kind of inefficiency cost went directly to the P&L because all the people were paid in any case, and so part of this increase compared to Q1 is due to the COVID cost and a little Q of course coming for our acquisition, the last Q that we had in the second quarter. If we go to the next page, that is net income adjusted, I would like to mention that the decrease come directly from the EBITDA decrease because we have 12 million more or less of decrease compared to net income adjusted of June 2019. All the other assets are more or less compensated, so the decrease of EBITDA went directly in the net result. Coming to the page 7, the net financial position, It's really important to highlight the very good job made by the group in the second half of 2019 and the first month of 2020, because as Massimo previously said, the last 12 months cash generation is equal to 14.2 million. Of course, this includes Arch acquisition, so neutralized from Arch acquisition, the cash generation in the last 12 months is equal to 61.9 million. And this totally reflects also in the ratio, because I can confirm that net working capital on sales ratio is better of 1.5 more or less compared to the same ratio of the previous year. It's important, I think, also to mention that the group was compliant with the covenants. We obtained from the banks the covenant holiday, as we discussed in some previous call. But the group anyway reached a leverage ratio that was full compliant with the covenant set. The ratio is 4.9 compared to ratio that we have from the bank agreement that is equal to 5.45. The group also obtained the freeze of the margin ratchet for the full year. It is quite important because, of course, our leverage ratio is in line with the covenant, but it's worse in December. If this ratio was confirmed also for the end of the year with the same proportion, the group should pay 2 million of interest more, and with this agreement that we reached with the bank, froze, with this frozen margin ratchet, we project to save more or less or to avoid an increase of 2 million of interest costs. So I think that I conclude my part, and so Francesca, we can open, I think, the Q&A session. Yeah.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, please press star then one. The first question comes from Niccolò Storer with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I have three questions, if I may, maybe four. The first one is on cost savings. I didn't get you if you mentioned how many million you saved in the first part of the year, and which is the target for year-end. So how many million of further saving we should expect in the second part of the year, and related to what? Second one is on Arch. Basically, I saw that in the first part of the year, the contribution of Arch was very little also, and in particular taking into account the fact that fine art as a whole grew 4%. So a few comments on Arch and how the integration is going, how demand is going. Third question on your EBITDA guidance. If I'm not wrong, you were pointing to something in between 100 and 108 million, but with the assumption of India returning to normal in July. Considering that schools are not open yet, should we expect a lower range? You have in mind now a lower range. And very last one, before you said that you are confirming your debt guidance, and can you remind us which was this debt guidance? Thank you.
Maybe
Stefano, okay, can you start from question number one, please?
Yeah. Yes, Massimo. So we estimate more or less 7 million of cost saving for this year. Of course, big part was planned in the first half because we projected the slowdown and lockdown activity in the first half. And so we reach, and for the first half, we planned 5 million and we reach the target of 5 million, a little more, a little better than 5 million. And I would like also to point that we also work to reduce the cash out for investment, for CapEx, and the target was to reduce from 22 to 12 million, 6 million from the first half, and also this target was reached because we limited the cash out in the first half for 6 million. So I think that this is was the first question.
So five plus another two in the second part of the year, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cap six, we're playing six for a total 12 compared to 22 of the bus of the plan amount, and also with the cap saving, we are in line.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Stefano, can you answer also question number four on net financial position?
Let's say that we never, to be honest, gave a guidance because it was totally a quest gamble for receivable from when also the back to school campaign starts, because I think that you can agree with me, Massimo, depending if we have a full strong back-to-school campaign in the third quarter, depending when, maybe late in November, late October, or beginning September, it changes a lot for our receivable amount. Let's say that normally our expectation has the last 12 months, data confirm we are able to generate 55-60 million. Let's say that we work with two scenarios. The very dramatic conservative scenario, there was zero cash conversion, so instead of 60, zero, but it was too conservative. So we say that the realistic scenario was in the middle between 60 and zero, that is across 30, something else, something more than 30 million. This is the free cash flow to equity projection that we have in mind. And at the moment, I think that is quite realistic.
Okay.
Yes, I would like to integrate the answer of Stefano concerning point number four. There is a bit of a risk in this moment. Let me explain better. Compared to March, we have a better view on the quality of the receivables, and the situation is much better than expected. So we have substantially reduced our negative view on the quality of the receivables. And this is positive, and this is explained also by the very good performance on cash generation until June. There is one point that we need to stress, and this is the reason why we don't give an updated guidance compared to March. So we stick with what we said in March. The reason is very simple. There is a realistic scenario in which a couple of countries like India and Mexico will open the school not in September, but in October and November. This will allow us to meet top line and EBITDA targets, because the peak season, we supply everything in 3-4 weeks and in advance. But receivables will fall into 2021. So there could be a shift in generating cash from these two countries. So this scenario in March was close to impossible even to consider. I would say the situation is better because the quality of our receivable remain very positive, but I see countries that start to consider reopening of schools in October, November. This could move some receivables to January 2021. Concerning your question number two and related to Arsh, Arsh, I could say, is doing absolutely in line with our budget, and I think this is already a very good news. The sales, so the sell out, is very positive, as all the business of Fine Art, but as you probably recall, we to keep the market protected, we decided to buy an important level of stock, around 3 million euro, from the previous distributor. And we did this to avoid a price war. And we bought also their slow moving and so on. And we bought also expensive, because today we produce. So when we bought Arsh, and by the way, we bought Arsh in March. So we are talking only of 4 months. We clearly said that the much bigger contribution of Arsh will come in the second semester, because we needed to sell the stock that we have bought, so lower margin and also lower production from our entity. I would say that we are absolutely in line with our expectation. Concerning the guidance to the end of the year, when we spoke about cash generation, I think I partially answered. So in this moment, we are happy to have delivered a better than expected semester, but we do not change our view in a sense or in another, because we think that we start hearing India talking about school reopening, but just if they shift to October, November instead of September, you understand that EBITDA will be made, but not the cash from the receivables. So it's enough that school will reopen by January 2021, that we will meet our estimated budget, because we have to deliver schools within December. So I'm talking, of course, of an extreme negative scenario. So you can follow, I think you can easily keep under control our forecast just reading newspaper. So if school will reopen as we read now, I think we will meet the guidance we gave in March, and I hope you appreciated we did. And this is valid until a scenario in which school will reopen until January 2021. Whatever will go beyond that, of course, I think it's not useful to discuss today.
Okay, but maybe just to understand better, if schools are reopening in October instead of in July, aren't you missing 3 months of 3 months of turnover?
Of course,
you're telling the same.
No. Of course, we are missing, but we have considered in the when we made the reforecast in March. Mm-hmm. We had considered that we would have lost some amount of sales.
Okay. Thank you.
Nicolò, let me just add that what Massimo said is very important. It is our gamble about the receivable, not about the collection, but about the timing.
The timing.
Collection of this receivable. So it's why that I say. I would like not to do, because it's really not easy to give a certain projection, but the 30 can go to zero depending, not to zero, to a lower amount depending from when these receivable will be created, because of course if the receivable are created in October, November, of course, this is more, on October is more, it's quite important to collect within the end of the year. So we'll have a swift of the working capital and the collection the next year. So this is the real gamble that we have.
Yeah.
The next question comes from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is about, so we talked about reopening of school, about India, about Mexico, that are of course important countries, but I would like to better understand, of course, your main country, your main geographical exposure, that is North America. Your view on this, on the current situation in North America, that it's very important about, of course, top line EBITDA, but of course as well in terms of credits. My second question is about about the factoring, if you can provide us the factoring that you had in the first half, and finally you stated about the quality of your credits that is better than expected. In particular, could you update us on the situation in Italy? In particular, also considering that I think that your turnover in Italy now is low. Thank you very much.
Stefano, can you please answer on the question number two of factoring, please?
It's not far from the amount that we had in December, because we had a switch, between USA and Italy, because the two main center of factory are Italy and USA. While, and you can imagine, the turnover in Italy went down, and also the customer factorized. In the USA, the factoring worked quite well, so we are not far from the 30 million totally that we had in December. No big change.
Thanks, Alessandro. So concerning question number one, I think your question is absolutely correct. If you recall, during the first quarter results, we have anticipated, based on the experience, that some sales would have shifted from the second quarter to the third quarter. This has happened in July, so many customers that read the newspaper, they understand that the government, and I'm talking of Mr. Trump, but we can say also about Mr. Conte, they took personal engagement to open the schools. This is pushing customers to build up stock to supply schools. So in June, we suffered clearly some delays and some uncertainty. July is seeing a partial compensation of the delay. I would say that customers are inclined to build up stock, so this is happening. Maybe they tend to be conservative, so not 100% compared to last year, but maybe slightly lower. And this is the decision. This this is why we have decided in some countries not to shut down for summer holidays, because customers have asked us to be available anytime to supply back to school, as they prefer to keep the stock in our inventory. So this is happening. So we have seen a very good July in line with our expectation, while fine art continue running. Last year we had a very weak August. You probably recall all the problems related to tariffs and to the stocking of customers. Particularly last year we saw a very deep slowdown from the last week of August. We expect this year, little by little, that all customers will will do their job. The reason why I still remain conservative is because if in September we will experience a second wave of infection, then all the job, and for whatever reason schools will be closed, all the job that we are doing now will be wasted. So what I can say is that we are doing a good job. July is looking good, as we said during March, during April call. We expect to continue this trend. Also, we see some recovery, a little bit of recovery in Mexico and India, because government start to talk about school reopening. We see the same in Italy. Italy ended up, and this is to answer your question number three, Italy ended up very weak in month of June, and now customers are, after the public engagement of the minister and now of the prime minister, they have decided to build up stock to supply schools. I would like to take the opportunity to put on the table another argument now that we talk about Italy and United States, because we have not touched, but this can generate some questions. There is an unbelievable complexity this year in managing the supply chain, and this is giving us a further opportunity due to our integration of the supply chain. So the delay and the sudden change of the distribution is creating an unbelievable and unprecedented change in mix of sales. This is creating turbulence and troubles to our customers, so the distributor that sell with private label, and also to many of our competitors that are not integrated like us. The demand is really erratic, continue change. And in Italy, for example, we have not been able to supply many products before June due to unexpected level of sales of certain products against others that historically have been supplied to the school. We have been able to react, and this is why Italy is looking much better in the third quarter. But this gives you the idea or the magnitude of the problems that we are facing. Just imagine to sell a product via school. You can sell a pencil via school supplier. But if you sell the same pencil via Walmart or via Coop in Italy or via Amazon, the unit of sale is completely different. So you have in stock a product that you cannot sell, and you miss the unit of sales that you need. So this has generated a lot of pressure on our supply chain. I think we have reacted extremely well. We are managing the things not on a daily basis, but on an hourly basis. And I'm sure that in this moment, if the customers need a reliable supplier, in this moment Fila is a serious counterpart for our customers. So to conclude my very long answer, unusually very long answer, also Italy and the United States are seeing the trend for school sales that we expected. So a delay in the second quarter, a recovery in the third quarter, but to draw a conclusion, the full recovery will happen if school will reopen as expected in September.
Okay, Massimo, thank you. So just because you said about, of course, the timing of credits, the cashing of credits, Massimo in India, okay, if schools will reopen in October, November, then you have, I can draw the same conclusion for North America, for instance, or do you think that there are other elements? So, for instance, instead of September, they will reopen in North America, just to point an adverse scenario. So it's happening the same in the U.S. that what you stated about India and Mexico, probably.
Alessandro, it's very much different. The complication of this year is multiple. It's a complication of country, it's a complication of distribution channel. So, for example, if we have a delay in Mexico customers are used to pay 120, 150 days, yes, we have this problem, the payment will be made in January, February. In United States, the average payment, especially from Walmart and Amazon, are short. We are talking of 45, 60 days. So, and in this moment, United States have decided to open the school by the end of August. So the scenario in this moment say that the school will reopen between end of August and first half of September. So as per the information we have today, there is no risk. In India, the payment is between cash and 30 days. So whatever will happen before November will be cashed in within the end of the year. Whatever happened in December or January, of course, will be cashed in 2021. So you see, there are very big differences from country to country. So I think generally speaking, to simplify your life, if there is long channel distribution or all the distribution, like Mexico, wholesalers, school suppliers, retailers, there are long terms of payment. Where e-commerce and mass retailers prevail, there are short terms of payment.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
The next question comes from François Robillard with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my question. First one is on what you said, what I can read in the press release about the second half of the year might be impacted if children do not return to class lessons as normal. In your forecast for 2020, do you include two scenarios, whether distance learning keeps on prevailing or whether you've got more of a back-to-classroom scenario? And then another one, just to double-check on your guidance for cash flow, free cash flow to equity by the end of the year. If I understood correctly, you're now guiding between about 30 million and 55 to 60 million as before, depending on India. Can you just maybe come back to this point maybe more in details? And third and last question, sorry. Can you give us, you went pretty much into detail during the first quarter conference call on your distribution channels. Can you give us some update on how e-commerce online and online retailers have been evolving so far, and do you see them keeping on, maybe if that was the case, a larger stake in your sales going forward? Thank you very much.
Let me start from the last question. I forgot the first one, and I think Stefan is involved in the second. So concerning e-commerce, we have assisted to a very particular scenario. The e-commerce has literally boomed during the lockdown. I'm referring to end March, all the month of April, and early May. But when we saw the reopening of the traditional distribution, the growth of the e-commerce has immediately gone back to normal trend. To give you an idea, e-commerce during lockdown has grown around 300% on average. And after the reopening of the traditional distribution, e-commerce has gone back to 10% average growth. So I think we are assisting to now again to a normal path of growth, let's say, in the rest of the world. In the United States, in this moment, Amazon is betting for a second wave, or anyway a situation in which the COVID will disturb heavily the country, so they are increasing orders for back to school and for fine art. They clearly told us they bet that COVID will be around and will complicate the life to traditional distribution. So I really cannot comment on this. I don't recall, sorry, the first question, Stefano, maybe you can remind me. Stefano?
Me too. I recall the second one, but not the first one, sorry.
The first one was on whether you had different scenarios in case of a physical back-to-school or a distance back-to-school in your forecast.
let me joke a little bit. We have different scenario, but there is one that is even more positive, because when we assisted to the lockdown, we have seen a substantial amount of product bought by the consumer in for remote school that are different from what they buy when they are in the classroom. So there is a scenario in which if they do half and half, they will buy more than normal, because they will attend school 15 days and they will stay at home 15 days. So unless a student will become extremely and perfectly organized, moving product back and forth, there is a realistic chance that there will be more important purchases to manage this very complicated situation. So if the scenario will be, if we want to be realistic, I think there is only an impact on mix of sales, but not really on top line. The real negative impact is related to lockdown. So if school will not reopen, what we have seen in April and May is two things. There is a completely different mix of product used at home. It's a decision made by the consumers that we cannot control. And there is a reduction of the use of school products, because clearly in the school there are hours dedicated to drawings, to manual activity and so on, that are a little bit lost if there is a lockdown. In this moment, to talk about lockdown, I think it's not realistic, because all the countries have put as priority number one the school reopening. So we tend to confirm our estimation for the full year 2020 that we gave at the end of March. Stefan, I think you can say more or less the same for net debt.
Yes, I can confirm, because we just discussed, we didn't change our view, but there is this little twist depending, as you explained a few more times, on when the revenue will come for the very first school.
Yeah. What I would like to stress is that I think you are following many other calls. The fact that the semester has gone much better than expectation, as we live in a very difficult environment, I think that we should consider this as a very good sign, but not a final sign. So we cannot say that COVID is behind us. As the situation is so unpredictable, I think we have demonstrated that we are ready to give guidance based on our experience. I think these results should be considered very positive, but we are still in a very unstable environment. So we have demonstrated that we are able to manage the situation, but I think we should wait at least September to draw final conclusions.
Thank you. And if I can just follow up on one item, you told about debt covenants at the end of the year, and not respecting them will trigger a 2 million euro additional net financial cost. Can you confirm you expect to pay these amounts as of now, or is it just a scenario you're considering?
To pay, what the interest?
To pay 2 million additional financial costs.
No, I want to be clear. We said that we are able to negotiate with banks in addition to the covenant holiday, also the freeze of the margin rate mechanism. That is a mechanism to increase the cost of interest if your leverage ratio is worse, also if you stay in the covenant ratio. And these will allow to save based on, for sure, in the next half, approximately 1 million, that on a yearly basis, 2 million. So is what I say. So we have this benefit from the bank, because the banks agreed with us to not increase the cost due to COVID reason. So for this reason that we have the margin ratchet fixed as it was in December 2019 for the interest. So it's a saving that we will do due to this negotiation with banks. I don't know if François was clear now.
Let me explain in a little bit more clear way. We are not going to pay any extra cost, even if the school will be postponed and the cash in will not occur, because will occur in 2021, because we have negotiated this scenario with banks, and banks have accepted to give us not only covenant holiday, but the banks have given up the margin ratchet. So we are not going to have any extra cost.
As it happens normally when the ratio is worse.
Okay, thank you very much.
And, okay.
There are no more questions at the moment. We have another question. The next question comes from Isacco Brambilla with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening everybody. Just a couple of questions from my side. The first one is on one-off costs and adjustments to EBITDA, which grew further in the second quarter. Which is your expectation for the full year? We will see further one-off costs in the second half of 2020. And the second question is more a strategic one. There's nothing FILA can do on the timing of reopening of schools in 2020. I was just curious to understand how FILA is equipping to face, I guess, some changes in the school and office and also in the fine arts business, not looking at 2020, but even beyond.
Concerning the extraordinary costs, they are related to Arsh, which it was an important acquisition, unfortunately, in the month of March, but the amount was quite substantial. And also, one-time cost related to the shutdown, the lockdown of India plant, and consequently the all the salaries we have been forced to pay to the worker as per government decision. I think this was a very unfair situation, and the answer is very simple. We should not have any further one-time cost unless we are going to have a second wave of COVID, because we don't have we don't foresee any extraordinary event happening in short term except COVID. Concerning the changes in office and schools, in office we are clearly see some important changes related to smart working, but you know, for us office is such a minimal percentage of the business that I could say we don't care. The changes in the school, but frankly speaking, I come after these 3 months and having kids home, I think that our strategy is probably reinforced by what has happened. I think the school, the digital school, has demonstrated a total failure, complete failure, especially in the age of the kids that are our consumers. So from 18 months to 10 years old, I think it was a complete disaster. And that's why all the government has put as a priority the physical presence in the school. I think my son and my daughter was following lesson for not more than 15 minutes, and they didn't care at all of what was happening on the iPad or in the computer
during the day. Also, teachers were very little involved. There was a lot of confusion. I don't know what kind of experience you had. So I think that I don't foresee any particular change in the if not an improvement, that would be more than welcome, especially in some countries like Italy. But we don't foresee any particular change. We said many times that our products are compulsory, are necessary for a healthy growth and healthy development of our consumer. And I think there is nothing more than COVID have demonstrated and confirmed this. Concerning fine art, frankly speaking, the level of the development of this business crossed with our strong leadership in the world is a little bit surprising us. We were positive that the business would have kept a good top line, not to this point. I think this growth will continue at least for the entire 2021. Then fine art can be influenced by the quality of life that consumers are normally performing or organizing. I see people reducing their travels abroad. I see people probably spending less money in cars. And this, the fact that people will spend more time at home is clearly going in our favor, also for school products. And this, I see this as a long-term trend. Don't forget that fine art was already a business in organic growth. The COVID has accelerated this trend. And of course, we will continue our strategy to aggregate the best brands in the world, as it seems we are doing a very good job. We expect in July that the growth of fine art continue. So we have an order book that is quite full also for the following months. So I think that we are in the right place and in the right moment.
Okay, clear. Just a very brief follow-up. If you can give us some color on current trading, actually partly answered, but some additional details on how sales trends and even profitability evolved compared, for instance, with the second quarter. Thanks.
But the current trade is limited to July, in which we see fine art continue this solid growth, and this is very important because there is no more lockdown, and now we see traditional customers that come back to normal level of purchases with a strong level of demand. The difference from July if compared to the first semester, is that now we have school that is improving the level of orders, because if customer will not place order now, it will be too late to supply schools. Again, it's a good sign that make me a little bit more comfortable. It's not a final sign, so it's too early to draw conclusion, because September is a very important month, and if ever in September we have to record some negative news or some problems, whatever we are doing now will be absolutely unuseful. So it's positive. I think we are in a very good position compared to the view I gave in March. And again, I think we were quite brave to give a guidance. So So I think in July we are in a very good position at the end of July. If I consider what we gave as a guidance, the advantage to supply traditional customer is that the profitability, I think you have seen that our profitability, despite is still good, we have lost 1 to 1.5 percentage point. I think this is related to mix of products and mix of customers and the big complication to manage the sales, unplanned sales with a very difficult mix of product. In July, in August, and in September, we are seeing a mix of sales that goes back to normality because we have schools and traditional customers that are ordering traditional mix of product. So this is what we are expecting. We expect a normal, let's say, a situation that is closer to normal if we are not going to experience a return of the COVID. So good sign, but not final sign.
Clear, many thanks.
The next question comes from Arturo Lopez with Clear Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I have a few questions, if I may. The first one is, well, on Q1, basically, you mentioned that part of the sales from Q2 was shifted to Q3. It appears to me from the conversation we're having this evening is that this is happening, but it might be curtailed by the effects of COVID in Mexico and India, if I understood correctly. The second question I have is, how should we figure out the working capital in the light of the sales that we should wait for in Q3? And by any way, by the end of the year. And lastly, if you could give us, please, some further details with regards to the resolution approved by the risk committee regarding the remuneration of the management, I would like to better understand what does it mean in material terms, and what should we expect as a charge. I presume this is a one-off for this year. And how do you plan to present it on an annual basis, whether it's going to be adjusted or the EBITDA or for that or not? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let me start from the third one, even if I ask Stefano to support me. There is absolutely not any one-off remuneration. The remuneration committee is responsible of the remuneration of all the strategic managers around the world, and of course all our bonus program was based on the budget approved for 2020 pre-COVID. So the situation was made in a way that with COVID, the variable remuneration would have gone almost to zero. In this way, probably this would have reduced the motivation or involvement of the management. So what we have done, Stefano, please correct me, we have readjusted the variable side to a realistic number that is inside our revised expectation for 2020 post-COVID. So you will not have any one-off impact. But please, Stefano, you wanted to say something?
It's correct. Exactly this, just because not to lose the motivation of the member of the group, we review the curves of variable target bonus in order to guarantee anyway the bonus in case, part of the big guy is done, explained, and part of the NFT is rich. And so the total cash out, so it's just to guarantee, just some, let's say, some to incentivize the management to reach the target with the revised mechanism of curve. The total cash out, anyway, will be lower than the one planned. So it's very important. We are guaranteed to the manager of the group some variable bonus because they need to have these just to fill the target, to reach the target. But the total cash out, also if they reach the new 100% of the target, will be lower than the one previously planned. So I confirm, and I think that this is the mechanism as maximum.
If I may follow up, is this a one-off anyway, or
no,
for 2020, or is for the full time of the business plan? Because
it's not a one-off.
Shareholders, I would like to better understand
whether
actually you have lowered all the targets for the business plan, and that might have a consequence. Just to better understand, COVID or not COVID in 2021 or 2022.
This change will only affect short-term bonus that are related to the annual variable bonus. So no changes on the business plan and not one-off impact because this impact is in the reforecast that we did.
Okay.
Coming back, maybe if I try to repeat your question to be sure, you said that we have a shift of sales and now we tend to confirm, but we couldn't imagine such a negative impact on India and Mexico. So if we do confirm the view, the answer is yes, we do confirm the view. For two reasons. One is because we are able to offset partially the negative result with the more positive result in fine art business. Second, because I don't believe that the schools will not reopen at all in Mexico and in India. In fact, we already received some communication from the government that in some states a school will reopen. So in this moment, I really have no element to say that India and Mexico will remain at such a low level of top line until December. On the contrary, I think that they will start little by little taking back a normal operational level of activity, and the school will little by little reopen. And by the way, this is not me saying that. This is the newspaper. This is the government communication. So it's not an impression or a feeling. It's based on communication that we receive from the Ministry of Education, both in Mexico and in India. So these are official communication. I don't recall the second question, sorry.
It was about working capital, meaning the changes in working capital given the sales. You've done a tremendous job reducing working capital thanks to the introduction of SAP and the centralization of the warehouses, partly helped during Q1 and partly should help going forward. But assuming that sales are progressing slower than expected, I was wondering whether we should expect a reduction in working capital and if production gets adjusted.
Yeah. As you have seen, the working capital has improved another 1.3 points in June. There is no reason why working capital, this improvement will not be consistent. So I think that it will be consistent. because we expect a good level of sales in the third and in the fourth quarter, because please remember that seasonality for fine art is fourth quarter. Second, in this moment, today, the number of workers in India is 70% below the level of March, 70. So we have reorganized the plant in a way that, number one, the company does not burn cash, and number two, that we do not build up any excess inventory. So in this moment, India is producing only what the subsidiaries are ordering or the Indian market is demanding. To give you an idea, we are invoicing $100,000 per day compared to $300,000 average per day before COVID. In Mexico, it's more or less the same. We left home all the temporary workers. We are talking of 250 workers. And we are working mainly for United States. But already these days, we start seeing some orders from domestic market because the government is telling us that they will reopen the school. They have not given us more detail if it will be blended, physical or digital, but they said that is a priority for the government to reopen the school. So I think that the working capital will be managed as we did in the first semester. So I don't see a risk or a liability. I think that now with the operation working very well, we will be able to manage the things accordingly.
Thank you very much.
We have no more questions. Again, we have another question. The next question comes from Mr. Christopher Sandefaden with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. Sorry, it's dragging on long. I detected at some point a sense that you, in all this chaos, you might be winning here and there, and perhaps you can give some color as to which markets or particular product lines, you're winning some market share, perhaps, if this is my understanding, if I heard correctly. And then just to follow up on the SAP question before, you haven't really mentioned it until then. So you're really very, very happy with having introduced SAP. And are you targeting some specific ratios? Now it's obviously lower utilization, perhaps, even though maybe you see that it allows you more flexibility. But do you have some longer-term targets in terms of the ratio, the kind of gains you can make in percentage terms? Thank you.
Thanks, Christopher. First of all, let me tell you one thing, because I wanted to be fair and transparent. The senses of what I said, I think you got right, but at this stage, it's a feeling, and I tell you why it's a feeling. Because I talk with customers, and they are submerged by problem in their supply chain. And the same is for some competitor. I give you a number. Our competitor number one in the world, and this information comes from the CEO, not from a source, is negative in top line in fine art, and they are the number two in the world. So putting together all this information, and as we have a very integrated supply chain, that Luca is managing extremely well, Luca Pelosin, and really on a daily basis, we are giving them priority. So we can decide, while if you outsource, you cannot decide. The feeling, and please add the complication, for example, in the United States, given to the distribution by this president that have imposed the tariffs. Add the complication of the COVID. I'm sure, I am 100% sure that our customers are in deep troubles with their supply chain. So in this moment, I see them asking us every possible availability of product in short term to respond to the request of the customer. I don't know if you had the chance to see some picture of some shops of Walmart during May and June. It was like they had a bomb in the shop. It was completely empty. So I don't know if you could see, it was in internet. This tells you a lot. I think that our presence with 40 subsidiaries, 25 plants, and so many warehouses around the world, in this moment is a competitive advantage because we can respond quickly to the request of the market. If this will be translated into better market share, we will know in September because those numbers are official in Nielsen statistic that we buy or GfK. And of course, when this will be available, I will be ready to share with you. But I agree with you, it's a feeling that I have. And it's not only for today, because in long term, if you analyze the macro trend, the globalization is dead. And if we go more into localization, the fact that we have so many plants and so many warehouses around the world, I would love to think that this will become a competitive advantage. For sure, not a weakness. For sure. So our investment in working capital and inventory probably will give us some competitive advantage. Concerning SAP, I would like to remember you, number one, that we suspended the last go-live project in Italy, in UK, due to COVID. But we definitely see very good results where SAP is working properly, particularly North America and Central Europe, in which on a daily basis we had level of orders, level of margins, discount, which is extremely important to keep under control the quality of the margin in long term, cash discount, and of course a level of inventory and level of orders, daily entry level of orders. So in this difficult situation, this is helping us to manage better. And I think the numbers of June are better than expected because we are a more efficient organization in 2020 versus 2019 and 2018. We never have hidden our target of working capital that should go below 40%. We are improving every year 1%. We are going closer to that target to free some cash.
That's great. Very helpful. Thank you very much.
We have no more questions.
Perfect. Thank you. Maximo, do you want to close the call?
Sorry, I couldn't hear. Did you tell me something?
No, I'm just saying that if you like to add something close the call. Or,
no, I thank everybody. I thank everybody for your patience and for attending the call.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.